welcome Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell into the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope.
Thank you for joining us the second and fourth Monday when you have Fairhope City Council meetings scheduled for that night. Work session at 4:30 and the meeting at 6. For those that can't attend at the council chambers, you can watch on the City of Fairhope YouTube channel live or later. Let's go to the work session first. Tree services at Bayview Park. Which park is that?
That's by Noel Park. I call it Noel Park myself.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't familiar with Bayview Park. So is it in Noel Park, or is it on the Henry George Bluff, or is it down at the pier?
I am looking at the picture, and okay. If you see that, and that doesn't show me exactly where
that's at. Okay, yeah, well, that's the bluff part that goes along Bayview Drive to the right of the park in Noel Park.
To the right of the park.
To the neighborhoods,
right,
et cetera. Okay, I see. So it's got termites, I understand.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the picture of the tree, and I think that's probably pretty recent, it looks fairly healthy, but apparently it's been invaded by termites, and that is if you look at that, that's a magnificent oak, and I think we're going to hear more about this tonight. That's why we put it on the work session, so that we can learn more about it, because we did go ahead and put it on the city council agenda. You know, depending on what we hear, we could pull that or go ahead and leave it on there to pay for an effort to save that tree. They do say that we can save that tree, and you know, when you have a massive historical live oak tree, I think that if the cost is not too great, it's in the public's interest to save it. In this case, it probably, I think it would be worth saving.
It is on the agenda for not to exceed $9,589. So right. Hopefully it can be saved.
Yeah, and that seems like a lot of money. If it was you or I and it was in our yard, we'd probably think twice about that. But in the grand scheme of things for the city and being in one of our parks and being that it would take 200, 300 years to replace that tree, the annualized cost of that comes out to be pretty cheap. So
Yes, it does. Thank you. What about these discussion of road annexations, acceptance and maintenance concerning some Highway 98?
Yeah, this is the first section there is from Scenic 98, which is close to the clock corner down to the Fly Creek Bridge. That's fully enveloped by the Fairhope City limits, and it's customary that when we own or when all of the properties on either side of the road are fully within the Fairhope City limits, that they would deed that over to us for maintenance
from the county.
And just to you know, give a little kudos to them, as they're going to asphalt that, put a new layer of asphalt down before they were to turn that over to us. So I would see that we would do that. And then there's another section of roughly 500 or 600 feet on Nelson Road, which is down South Mobile Street, you know, just on the edges of town, but that is encompassed by the city of Fairhope as well. And so, you know, 500 feet, and I think they're going to do the same thing with that road as well. So this is something that we do. We just have to take legislative action. If you look at our agendas throughout the year, every year there's usually 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 segments of road that we take over from the county.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with annexation, like property being annexed on both sides?
You know, it could be a result of annexation, whether that be through neighborhoods that come into the city or whether it be through individual properties. In this case, I think that you would say that the city now owns the Triangle property, so that side of the Scenic 98 is obviously in the city now.
Right.
From the corner all the way down to Fly Creek, and then the residences on the other side have been in the city for quite a while. So.
Okay. Speaking of annexation, final adoption of number 8. I didn't notice it before. Some residents are trying to annex single tax corporation property. Can they do that since it's a lifetime lease and not actual ownership?
Heck, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, sometimes you stump me in here, Lori, and I'm not embarrassed to say. It's a good question. I'm pretty sure that we've done that in the past.
Okay.
But, you know, do they have to get single tax corporation to sign off on that? A good question, because when you do that, the person that leases that property, you know, now has to pay City of Fairhope property taxes. And I guess single tax could argue, well, we want the property taxes to stay lower. I wouldn't say stay low. I would just say stay lower,
but
because there's a single tax. There's a single
tax
on that property as well. So I'm going to assume that it's perfectly legitimate since it's on our agenda, and I'm pretty sure I've seen that before. But I'm going to ask that question. I'm sure that – and I'll go back and look some at the fine print as well to see whether or not the single tax corporation has to sign off on that as well.
Number nine, a site plan review for a 26-unit project at the north side of Magnolia Avenue, just east of church. Is this a misprint? 26 units on 0.31 acres, which was recommended to deny by the Planning Commission.
That is not a misprint. If you
complex.
Do the math, that's a density of 83.9 units per acre. What do you think, Lori?
Wow.
What do you think? How would you vote on that?
No.
The problem is not only that it's very, very dense, but the problem is also where do they park? You know, even if you had one vehicle per unit, even if you only had one, where do you get 26 parking spaces there? We'll discuss it further tonight, but I see a lot of issues with this request.
And so did the Planning Commission. Generally, the council follows the commission's
recommendations. Generally, I'd say 95% of the time.
Now, what appears to be the same developer on the same corner, well, on the same intersection, is Magnolia and Church, a 10-unit property on 0.51 acres. And that has been recommended for approval.
Yeah. Not that, let's clarify, that is not the same developer.
It's not. Okay.
No.
All right.
No, you're looking, I think, you might see Fairhope Single Tax, I think, right there. Okay. That's what that FS is. And then there's a separate word after number 9, and then after number 10, you see.
Oh, I see. FST is Fairhope Single Tax.
Right.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, the second one has been recommended for approval, and I want to hear more about item number 10, the 10-unit on 0.5. So that's 20, that'd be 20 units per acre.
What is your density ordinance? There's a rule.
Well, you got a mixed, you know, you got mixed use there. That's commercial. It's downtown. It's in the central business district. What would be the number of units in the Hampton Inn?
I see.
So, you know, you may have 30 or 40 or 60 units on an acre. It just depends on what the development looks like.
Okay.
And how, you know, but the Hampton Inn has a lot more land, a lot more frontage. So I'm just using that as an example. You know, sometimes density can be misleading as well. It just depends on exactly what the units look
like. I see. Okay. So it's in the central business district, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if someone develops something in the central business district, they don't have to provide parking because the street parking is available?
Well, if it's commercial property, you don't. If it's residential, you have to provide one parking space per unit.
Okay, but commercial does not.
Correct.
Have y'all looked into maybe changing that?
Absolutely. We're looking at it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we, you know, and this, you know, these types of requests actually bring that to light again. You know, who would have thought probably when that order, even just a few years ago, that somebody would request 26 units on 0.3 acres? I mean, would you think that? You might think of it if it was a hotel, maybe, but even on 0.3 acres, it's hard to get that on there.
So, would that have been a hotel or an apartment complex?
No, this would not have been. This would not have been this was not a hotel.
Okay. Speaking of, we're going to divert a moment.
I think you're going to see some changes as a result of these continual requests. I think you're going to see some changes pretty soon on that. And remember, we've got the comprehensive land use plan that we awarded a bid for that several months ago, and we're going to, and it also included a review, and that's with the Restore Act money, and it was going to include a review of all of our ordinances. And So we've tried to put some of these things off till we can get some expert help in that. But some of these things we're not going to be able to put off. We're going to have to make a move on some of these prior to completing that study, I'm sure.
Changing an ordinance that would allow such a dense development without parking or other considerations?
Yeah, and you know, it's not. So if you were in a city, let's say we'll take an absurd case and say you're in New York City and you build an 80-story high-rise condominium complex, and they may provide some parking there, but most people don't even have vehicles when they live in the city like that. They take the bus or the subway or something like that, and you can do that in those cities. But here, people all have to have vehicles, and it's not so much you're going to put burdens on, say, your neighbors. If you're next to a residential neighborhood and everybody parks up and down the street, well, those people that live on in a neighborhood are going to have cars parked in there on their street 24/7, 365 days a year.
I would hear the city council side of you say that's your choice for choosing to live in this central business district.
Well, that's true, but when you're on the fringes of it, though, you say the far side of Church Street, as you go down Church Street, the central business district is on the east, but not on the west side of that street.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's on Church in that vicinity. So, you know, there is a line where the two meet, where the residential and the CBD meet, and then that's where you run into issues.
Right, right. We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 842, 78 degrees. Fairhope's Parking Authority is meeting July 28th. I don't recall a parking authority. If I do, they haven't been active and I forgot.
Yeah, well, they've been somewhat active. They do meet from time to time, and it's been around since before I was on the city council. And, it's like a lot of those, committees that we have. A lot of them are advisory role. Some have more authority than others. The parking authority has, they do have some leeway. They do have some teeth in their bylaws, but they do meet occasionally. I don't know how you've missed it, but maybe just because
either.
They don't meet that often,
right? Just
and we don't talk about it in council meetings that much. But they've been around, and so sometimes we have issues that come up. They were real active when we built the parking garage, and when we made improvements to Bancroft Street, for instance. That's been probably about 4 to 5 years ago when we made that one way and we restriped that.
Right, right.
That's an example of where the parking authority did. They did get involved a good bit. It's
to what
they meet seldom, but they do have some. They do have some authority, as the name implies, and they do have a purpose.
Okay. And to what do we owe their resurrection? And what is their authority?
Well, I'm not real well versed on that authority because I am not on that. You would think I would know, but they meet so seldom. I would have to brush up on my knowledge of what all their authority is.
And their meeting will be a review of their bylaws.
Yeah, and I think that may be what we're trying to do. Is we probably have some things that need to be discussed, maybe such as this development, and we need to get some buy-in from them and have some studies done, and that's a good committee to have look at that.
So, we can save you some money. There's a parking problem in downtown Fairhope, and I know you don't have to spend $30,000 to determine that, but yet I know you think, and I like your attitude on it, there's not a problem.
There's an issue.
There's a lot of people downtown.
Yeah, well, the issue, once again, is still utilize the parking garage. Now, that's not these developments withstanding. Now, that won't help these.
Right, right.
But no, if store owners and store retail employees downtown would use the parking garage, we'd have a lot more parking spaces available.
What happened to the temporary spots that you put in for the pandemic? I thought the temporary pickup spots were going to stay forever.
That's another thing. We have voted on things in the past to have 15-minute parking permanent. Say in front of a bank, for instance, 15-minute parking. You can run into a bank, do your business, come out, and then you have to leave. And not a lot of them, but one or two on every block.
Right.
I think city council had passed a resolution to do that, and that's one of those things that sometimes those actions don't get executed. I can't remember if it was under Mayor Sullivan or if it was under Mayor Wilson, but
well, let's look into that.
Sometimes our actions don't get executed, and it's frustrating. But then, you know, do you pick a big fight over that, or did something else come up? They've told us they're going to paint the P on the streets for the park to point to the parking garage probably five times. I'm yet to see one.
Okay.
Those things, they get lost in the shuffle, and somebody doesn't like the taste. Well, I think like right now, you know, Mayor Sullivan, well, she doesn't like the look of a pea painted on the street. And she's talking to them about putting signs up. And I've, you know, mentioned this to her several times. I go, well, we've already taken action to put that pea on the street. So, I hate to say it this way, but the opinion doesn't matter. We voted to take action, and it hadn't happened yet. But is it worth fighting over? No, probably not worth getting in a big brouhaha over something like that. So it doesn't get done. But we did get it. But we did finally get our shuttle ordered, and it'll be here soon, probably next month. Our downtown shuttle that will shuttle people from the parking garage around town.
Okay, and so that's going to start, even though the Arts Alley or the alleyway will be under construction soon.
Yeah, that won't really impact it very much. We'll keep it there in a secure location, locked up and ready to use every day to transport people that use the parking garage around town. We'll see if that helps the parking situation some.
Okay. Is there trouble in Paradise? I guess I just presumed y'all got along beautifully.
No, we get along great. I'm just saying that there are those things that there's a difference of opinion, and sometimes council resolutions don't get acted upon. It's not, I'm saying it here. It's kind of piddly. Like I said, it's kind of minor. It's not worth a big fight. But, we did authorize it, and it hadn't happened, so... but am I going to make a big fight out of it? No, I'm going to mention it here because we brought it up, but that's probably all I'm going to mention of it.
All right, let's move on as it is 8:48. This is WABF. Before we run out of time, number 13 and number 16. I'm seeing really big numbers, and I always have to ask about y'all spending a ton of money.
Well, you got to break that down, Lori.
Yeah, here we go. Let me just say, a professional engineering services to upgrade Fairhope electrical substations and distribution circuitry.
Right. So what we have here is, if you look at the big number of $786,000, that was actually $736,000 prior. So we increased that number by $50,000 to $700,000. We'll call it roughly $787,000. Now, that is a big number, but remember, we're doing over $12 million worth of upgrades. So if your engineering costs are typically 10 to 15%, that would be $1.2 to $1.8 million. So if you see the total cost being $786,000, it actually is about half, could be roughly half, or even maybe a slightly less than what your typical engineering costs are for a project of that size. So that's not a big number. That's a really, really good number. And the reason that we had to add $50,000 to it is, remember, we moved the site of the Morphy Avenue substation from that hole in the ground over to the property that we purchased just down the street. And so they do have to do some engineering to relocate the lines. There's a cost involved because they had engineered it to run the lines out to that hole. Now they have to run them further down Morphy, and $50,000 for an engineering firm, it gets burned up pretty quick. That's not a lot of money there.
And then on top of the engineering fees, we have site work for apparently the same place.
We have site work. We had the cost of that.
$378,000 for a bulldozer to flatten it? I don't understand that at all.
Well, you have to grade it, and they're putting a wall there. And it's a pretty, it's a pretty large area right there.
How many acres is that?
That's a little over 2 acres. The substation won't take up that much. The substation probably won't take up, but maybe a half an acre or maybe three quarters of an acre will be the footprint, but you have to have roads that go into there. Remember, you have to have construction
off of Morphy.
Yeah. Construction equipment have to go in there. You have to run the lines off of the road back to the station. But the site work and the cost of the land total is still about half the cost of just the site work at the other location, not to mention the other issues such as liability and potential flooding of the other site.
That's good. Number 19, compensation and job classification plan. Is that just giving some raises to folks?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'll be getting a raise. I think that it might allow for them in the future to get a raise because it would give them, put them in a higher pay grade. But, you know, pay grades overlap in salary. So in this case, this does not give them that. Now, I am a little bit interested in hearing more about this. This is not something that has really been talked about a lot to the city council. I'm hoping that we'll get the plan in the work session. It always kind of bothers me that when we're in July, budget's a few months away, why can't this wait for budget discussions, which is when we, you know, make changes to job classification. I will say this, though, in the defense of this request. I believe that this has this might be indicated in the Auburn personnel study.
Okay. All right. And finally, number 20 on the third page, Board of Adjustment and Appeals appointments to a couple of new members.
Well, one would be a member. I mean, we had some openings, and the mayor made some changes. Council went along with those at the last meeting.
And, what were the changes to the Board of Adjustments?
Well, we had several members whose terms had expired either recently, or some of them had expired a while ago. And so mayor wanted to put some new faces on there. And so we thank all those people that have served in the past. And I think we had one other slot left to fill. So this would fill the slot of the expired term, one of their expired terms.
And this is the committee or board that hears, and also do they grant exceptions to building code? If folks want a big, gigantic mansion in a very little backyard, they can prove some type of a hardship.
Yeah, and it's usually not, it's usually something a little smaller, like a lot line, like, you know,
yeah,
this says,
I mean,
we can't build, you know, this says that we can only build up to 20 foot from the street, and somebody wants to come in there and build 17 feet from the street because of,
or five,
whatever, R5, yeah, R5. Yeah, it seems to be, it's always, or go right up to the line even, right? But they hear that, and there's supposed to be a hardship associated with that. And, you know, somebody saying, I can't make enough money and sell this lot, it's not a hardship. But I think that they're getting better at looking at the reasons and being a little bit stricter. And, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, I think maybe 20 years ago, people just went to and they said, oh, it's real simple. I know you need to move that line. Just go to Board of Adjustments. And there may have been some hand waving, you know, yeah, you just got to get it a nod of approval.
20 years ago?
Yeah, probably, you know, maybe. Yeah, I think so. I think it's progressively gotten a little bit tighter over the last 20 years, I'd say. And but they've tightened up, you know, not everybody that goes there now, you know, gets a nod of approval. And so, anyway, this was simply filling a vacancy left by expired terms.
One thing I need to mention before we run out of time, as it's 8:54 already, and this is not on the agenda, but it became a spotlight on social media, and anyone driving on Fairhope Avenue past the post office, if you look to your right, you will see an over 100-year-old house was torn down. A lot of folks complaining about that. However, remind folks, I mean, if this is where your property right laws come into effect. If it's your property and you want to tear it down, you can, correct?
That's right. And you know, in a property owner, there's no law that says you have to maintain your property. So if it becomes dilapidated to the point that it's a, you know, a danger to yourself or even society, you know, sometimes they have to be destroyed. There is no law that says that house had to be kept in pristine condition.
We don't. My fingers are crossed because I was going to ask that. So there's not an ordinance in Fairhope to have people maintain their property?
Well, maintain their yard, but there's no ordinance that says you got to, let's say you have a hole in your roof.
Right.
There's no ordinance that says you got to repair that roof. You know, there's no ordinance that says you got to fix that window,
this
I know of. So, you know, when these old houses sit on these vacant lots and nature starts taking over and a tree starts growing through it, and rain starts entering it, and it gets, and everything gets, and I don't know exactly the condition, but this is a scenario. It starts rotting and the termites take it over. There's no law that forces you to rebuild that house to its original specifications. You can't, like you said at the outset, there are property rights, and so we have to follow the law. While everybody, I think would agree that it may be a small piece of history lost, I don't know the history of this particular home, but sometimes things are just old. There's been several homesteads. Sometimes they need to go. They're not in a state of
right.
where they can be saved.
Well, now, my thought is, if it were treasured, why wasn't it taken care of for the past, 20 years?
Well, the person that somebody may have inherited and didn't have the money to do so.
That's true.
They may have been struggling to pay the property taxes.
Do you know what's, there's a subdivision request sign.
I had not. That's really, I tell you, now that part saddens me because I'm not sure. I think the CBD ends just shy of that. And now we're starting to encroach back there on those neighborhoods. I happen to love that location. I think that's one of the finest lots in Fairhope. And to see, I could see somebody going in there and spending a lot of money to make that a single family residence. But if they're going to put a subdivision there, I've got to question that. I'm gonna look into that, Lori, because that's the first I've heard of that.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not the final say on that. I may have a final say if they're going to rezone that. I don't know what that zone.
Subdivision request is two or more, correct?
Yes.
So
it's a big lot, but here we go again. We just keep slicing and dicing these big lots up into more and more and
You've
more.
You've got an ordinance that says we can.
Yeah. Well. We're going to do something about that soon, too.
I hope so. All right. Well, on that note, I think we're out of time. Any parting thoughts?
No, Lori, I don't know what it is, but dadgummit, this 30 minutes with you goes by so fast. I mean, I feel like I've been here 5 minutes, and we didn't even cover, and a lot of things, folks, we didn't really need to cover on the agenda. It's just kind of housekeeping issues. Hey, let's cover 11 real quick on the solar lease.
Oh, good.
We've talked about for a long time. I've talked about the 50 kilowatt solar farm that AMEA is giving to, when it comes out of the money that we pay into AMEA along with the other 10 member
AMEA
cities.
AMEA is the Alabama Municipal Electric Authority.
Correct. And so, every member city has been granted a 50 kilowatt solar farm, and we toyed with where to put it. I wanted it to go on the K1 Center site. And we could have put it there. Now Fief is leasing a portion of that now for their steam center, and there was still space for that. But the mayor came to me and said, what if we put it, made it covered parking at City Hall, and cars, it'll provide shade, and it'll display our green energy there. And I liked the idea, so I thought, yeah, I can get on board with that. So that's. That is what this does. That moves that project along. So you'll see our 50 kilowatts of solar energy coming in right there on the corner of Oak and Section Street. It may face the street some, but it'll be lining the streets, and it'll be in the parking lot there at the Civic Center.
I just saw a little solar park, if you will. I think it was Robertsdale, and I wondered
There's
about
one
that.
North of Foley. Foley has one. That's
okay.
The same exact farm that was built by AMEA. That was because Riviera Utilities is a part of AMEA, and that was their 50-kilowatt solar farm that they received.
And so how does that integrate with our regular electricity?
Well, as the sun's producing electrical energy, it'll just offset energy that we need to buy through AMEA. So it'll tie into our grid, and while those are producing energy, that's energy that we don't have to pay for.
Very cool.
I mean, it's not a lot. 50 kilowatts sounds like a big number, but it's not a lot. It's probably the equivalent of a handful of homes, but it's something.
It's a start.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you.
Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. Can you stick around for Swap Shop? We didn't even get to the bridge.
I can stick around for a few minutes, Lori. I've been out of town for a week, and I need to get back in the office and take care of a lot today. But I can stick around for a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We're